QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
KF6Q, W6AWL, good evening.
Hey, W6AWL, Art, go ahead.
Just caught you getting started here, and the one thing we got coming up this month on the 21st, 22nd is a training class for new tech licenses. I got 15 people signed up, and Thomas, as you're out there with all of these great tech people and everybody else, see if we can get some Elmers lined up to come over and help us. That would be a great asset to put it all together and help us go around. Back to you, Tom. Thanks so much. W6AWL.
All right, Art, and that was on the 21st, 22nd of the month for the training. I don't have those exact dates here, but whatever that is, that's the third weekend of this month on a Saturday, and I believe the Sunday. Art, is that correct?
That's it, 21st, 22nd of this month, April, at the fire training facility over on Greenway, at the classroom there. From 9 o'clock on Saturday morning to about 3, and then 10 o'clock on Sunday morning to give or take noon, and then Mr. VE, bring in the test and we'll do it. Thank you much. W6AWL.
Okay, Art, I think you said Greenway, but I think you meant Paradise at the Caltrans Paradise Yard, correct?
Yeah, you got me confused with today's meeting and tomorrow's meeting and the rest of them. Yeah, Paradise Yard Training Center, Greenway. I was there this morning. Okay, thanks so much keeping me straight. W6AWL.
Okay, Art, not a problem. Just want to make sure everybody knows where we're going to be at. And anybody who's interested in this class, it's kind of like a two-day refresher. Please study before this. Get in touch with me at KF6Q. That's Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec. KF6Q at ARRL.net. And we'll get you all the information for when it starts. This class is free. However, of course, as normal, through the ARRL, there's a standard fee for taking the exam. So, hope to see everybody there. And anybody out there who's willing to donate some time as an Elmer on this training class, please also get in touch with me. All right. Any other announcements out there? All right, hearing none, topic for the evening, we'll be covering the radio's role in the Titanic disaster. We're coming up on the 100-year anniversary of that ill-fated marine time disaster. However, we're going to go over some of the radio equipment they had on board and see what was going on back then. So stay tuned for that. All right, I will now call a little brief roster here of our regular members who check in. first on the list is WB6CLZ Mike, who is in Placentia.
We are. Hey, good evening, Tom. Good evening, everybody on the net. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia. Hey, Tom, Cindy's under the weather tonight, so she won't be checking in, so don't even bother calling her. Okay, back to you, Tom.
Okay, Mike, good deal. Hopefully it wasn't the food this morning. But it was good food there. No complaints for me. Next on the list is KA6CIA, George.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, K6CIA, Lucerne Valley.
Hey, good evening, George. Glad to have you there from Lucerne Valley listening in. Next on my list is KJ6HCS, Mike. And nothing heard. Let's see, moving on down here. Let's see, where is my list? Here it is. I got it. All right, KJ6FIL, Mike. Nothing heard there. How about WA6IATC, Rod? Nothing heard. KJ6KDL, Jim.
KJ6KDL here with KDK.
Okay, Jim, and is KJ6KDK there also?
Roger, KJ6KDK here.
Okay, Rosemary, thanks for being there, both of you. Appreciate that. Let's see, how about W6GZI, Frank? Nothing heard. How about WB6PBZ, Ray? Nothing heard. How about KI6IQA, Kelly? Nothing heard. Is there a ball game on or something? How about K6GVL, Ron?
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley Lake.
Okay, Ron, glad to have you out there from Green Valley. Appreciate that. How about... Okay, nothing heard. Sounds like somebody's trying to get in there, but not holding a repeater. N6BOP, Ann.
Matt.
Okay, not copying that. Heard a voice, though. How about K6LCS, Clint? All right, can I hear there? How about W6JOM, Judith?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6JLM. Tom, I apologize for missing the ECS net last night. We had an interference just prior to the beginning, so we apologize. We were out there listening, however. W6JLM.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. How about W6KMM? Ken?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM Mobile.
All right, Ken Mobile out there. Glad to have you on the net tonight. Let's see here. How about KJ6PYV Dave?
KJ6PYV checking in.
Hey, Dave. Glad to have you out there this evening. Let's see. Give this guy a call, maybe. KI6OHN John. And nothing heard. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, Tom. K6YNW.
All right, Chris, got you in there. I think some of the winds and the weather moving in is really playing some havoc out there with conditions, so we'll give her a shot. W6POO, Chip.
Hey, Tom, Nanette. I'm in class. W6POO here. Yeah, we're at the phone station with George.
Okay, Chip, got you in there. A little weak on the audio, but got you in there. KD6LAN, Bill. And nothing heard. Moving on down the list here, AE6CK, Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Zanette. Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
Hi, Victor. Thanks for being out there from Santa Fe Springs. How about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Hi, Rod. Thanks for being out there. How about KB6LTY, Chrissy? And nothing heard. Pretty much the list as I have it. Did I miss anybody out there? Does anybody else want to check in as a guest? Please come back.
LCS, LCS, see you in 5 minutes.
Yep. K9AOG, Steven.
E6, Theo.
Right, there's Harold, 86PL, and got you out there, Steven, K9AOG from Long Beach, I believe. And Quint, got you in there. Of course, if that was you trying to get in there, well, we got you in there. We'll hear from you in just a bit. Anybody else out there want to check in as a guest?
W6JET.
W6JET, glad to have you out there. Rob, anybody else?
Yeah, KJ6, FIL, a little late, but still here.
KJ6, FIL, glad to have you out there, Mike. Boy, for a while there, I thought there was like a big ball game on or something. There was nobody out there. Thanks for checking in. Anybody else?
IQA.
KI6, IQA, Kelly, glad to have you out there. Anybody else?
No question. Did you call me earlier?
Yes, I did, Harold. You must not have heard.
No, I think what happened, your radio cut out. Just before you gave the call, you started to give it, and then at least down here on my end, it went completely dead, and then it came back on Ann's call, AD6PL.
That's what I was going to mention here. You said, how about, and then it went blank, so it was right before Ann, K6YNW.
Okay, anybody else that sounded like the call wasn't coming through there? Chris, how'd the rest come through?
Q5, all the way, K6YNW.
Okay, sorry, Harold, that might have been my finger off the mic here. My fault. Anyway, got you in here. Anybody else out there want to check in as a guest? All right. To come in at any point in time with questions or suggestions or comments on our topic. Well, first off, we always do our DX report. Not sure what's happening out there. Combination DX report and our sunspot weather report. Mike, what's happening out there?
Well, Tom, about the same. Sun is just almost blank right now. Activity is very low. Space Weather's reporting a sunspot number of 24, which is way down there. Still, we have a little bit of a decent solar flux index of 95 solar flux units. Not that good. Kind of moderate, kind of mediocre. Over the weekend, though, I did do a little bit of playing around. Not a heck of a lot. Worked 15 meter CW with 10 watts. I worked Cuba, which it's not too bad. And I didn't work them, but I heard a pretty good signal coming from Spain on 10 meter CW. And that's about the only DX that I really heard. I didn't spend a lot of time, but worked a few other stations throughout the United States and had a little bit of fun. But nothing really going on. We're still waiting for this sun to kick up a little bit and give us some good conditions. Back over to you, Tom.
Okay, Mike, good deal there. And yeah, I think it's just going to be that way for a while, so we'll see what happens. Anybody else out there with any DX to report, if there was any, I guess, please come back.
W6POO here. I worked a couple of times on 15 meters at all out, strange hours. The band came alive around 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Very strange for it to come alive at that time. And I managed to talk to Japan once or twice. Very weak, nothing stellar, but it was odd that it happened. But all the news is hit the print.
All right, Chip, appreciate that. Anybody else out there with anything to report on DX? All right, normally at this point in time, we would go with the satellite report from Quint. I think he's getting ready to set up. Really quick announcement for Quint. Not this Thursday, not the day after tomorrow, but a week from this Thursday. I believe it would be around 10:30. Quint will fill us in on that, all the good details. They've been doing some really good prep work. A bunch of school kids there at FLABOP going to be talking to the ISS, so stay tuned for the details there. I'm sure Quint's going to fill us in. Well, anyway, Mike, real quick, we've been up, we're going to try to fill in some space here, give Quint just a little bit of time. Here with the solar cycle, have you seen any charts on this? Are we getting more active in general on a chart, or have you looked anything up like that? Or is this, do we already have the big kapow?
I can honestly say I'm not current. You know, it seems like we're in kind of doldrums. We had a big kapow probably 2 or 3 months ago where things were looking pretty good and heading the right way. But now we're kind of in the doldrums. I really don't know, and I'll have to kind of go and Google some charts and see what I can find. Probably won't get it in tonight, but maybe by next week we'll have some more information for you.
Yes, go ahead, Harold.
Yes, you cut out twice. It's just like 2 or 3 words, and then it's back up to normal. I'm wondering, we're having tremendous wind down here in Riverside. I wonder if you have even more up there that may be doing something to the repeater.
Well, I think we're okay up here. We're not really getting that wind yet. But you know what's going to happen, I think, with a lot of ionization in the air, it's going to done that in the past. So, anyway, I'm not sure. But I think let me know if things start jumping in and out of there. Please do.
You just had another one while you were talking to me. It dropped off, and then it came back when you said ionization. 86 PL.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Sounds like the repeater's holding in. I've got all 6 bars or whatever I've got here. But it may be a mic issue. You might kind of check and see if your mic's plugged in or not. But your carrier's there. The repeater is triggered. It's just your voice drops out. But, you know, it's now and then. It's not anything I can put my finger on down here. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, roger that. Yeah, I kind of had the mic stretched out here a little bit. Might have been tugging on the plug. How is anything cutting out right now?
Sounds good right now. Like sometimes when you tug on those cords, they can do funny things. Maybe kind of keep it a little closer. I think that's what you needed to do. So I think you're okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So anyway, let's hope so. Anyway, all right, good deal. If it does come back, let me know, and I'll see if I can play with the old mic cord here. It's been so flawless for so long. As I always say, everything always works right up until it breaks. All right, well, good deal. Anyway, yeah, with this, let's check real quick, see if Quint's out there. Quint, are you set up yet?
Can you copy? K6LCS?
I got a good copy on you, yes. Go ahead.
Man, I'm running up the 215th of Perfectia trying to find a hot spot. Okay, folks, our ISS contact at Simog Airport next Thursday the 19th. Thursday the 19th at 10 o'clock in the morning. You're all welcome to join. Please go to k6lcs.com and find the link for Play Bob. But we had our rehearsal this morning. The kids sound great. We're going to have a marvelous time. So we got our time from NASA. We are go for next Thursday, K6LCS.
All right, Clint, good deal. And will you be joining us later on, or are you on the road? All right, am I getting out?
Yeah, you're getting out. I apologize, K6LCS. And I apologize, I didn't hear your question, Tom.
Are you headed on your way out or back, or are you going to be able to join us tonight, or is that our report? Just so we can move ahead, that's all.
That's about it. The other FM birds, 2750, they are up and running, and the ISS packet data is coming down. But next Thursday, Play Bob's talking to the astronauts. You've been hearing me talk about this since last December. It's been a year in the making. More than 2,500 emails, 8 teleconferences with NASA, a lot of stuff behind the scenes to bring this off for this 10-minute contest. Thank you, Tom. K6LCS.
Okay, Clint. Hey, thanks very much for taking time out to give us that information this evening. And drive safe, and we'll chat at you later. All right, Mike, getting started here with our topic on the Titanic. This is April 14th and 15th coming up, 1912, 100 years ago, very, very bad disaster. Mike, as we're going through here, that's 1912, that's getting out there pretty early in the days of communication. I've noticed here that they didn't have any digital, no GPS, no cell phones. My gosh. But they had the most advanced radio equipment available on that ship. Mike, you want to talk a little bit about that?
This is state-of-the-art modern stuff. This is probably the best they had at the time. They were using... Now, you have to realize everybody else, the standard was a 1.5 kW spark gap transmitter, and they used that as a standard transmitter. These things were so loud that they had to have a separate soundproofed room to keep the transmitter in, if that tells you anything. Actually, the Titanic was using a 5 kW, and it was 5 kW. It was just a plain spark. It wasn't a quenched arc. It wasn't anything fancy like that. But it was a little bit neater in the it was they called an advanced synchronous rotary spark discharger. So I guess this thing was a rotary type transmitter. Really kind of cool. I don't see anywhere though that they say anything about what the receiver was. That was done in a separate room, and you know, there was different types of receivers at the time, but I don't see anything about that. I have a little demonstration here, Tom. When you think we're time, this may be the way to do it. Maybe to go, but I'd like to send just a test and a couple of these with a. With today's CW, and then let you guys listen to a spark gap transmitter. I found a recording of a spark gap on the internet. It's kind of cool. Back over to you, Tom.
Oh, Mike, that's pretty cool. Really glad you dug that stuff up. I appreciate that. Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking about spark gap. We're not talking about any tones or modulation on that thing. It's literally the spark itself. Going through some very, very basic equipment, and I'm looking at pictures here. There's, you know, I don't have a lot of information on what they had, but the main thing is this was the best of the best in that day, and not sure what the range was, but I'm sure that with that there was quite a bit of range. I'm sure, you know, more than what they would have needed. Mike, you want to go ahead with that demonstration, and let's listen to this. Back, this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday Net. Go ahead, Mike.
Is that the Hobart, K6YNW?
I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I have that from the Titanic radio page, I think it is, and it's just a spark transmitter, so I'm not really sure whether it's Hobart's or not.
Thank you. Listening, K6YNW.
Okay, well, what the range time I've got that here, during the daylight hours it was about 250 miles, and at night it was about 2,000 miles. So, not too awful bad. And you have to realize this was a four-element wire antenna, four wires stretched. It looks like about, probably 800 feet from the mast on the on the bow to the mast back near the stern, so it's kind of cool. Okay, well, I'm going to break this for a second, and I'll be right back. I'm just going to drop out for a second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send three Vs, which are tests, and then I'll send tests with a normal, you know, the LCAF K3 that I have here sitting on the bench. And then I'm going to switch over, and they're going to be sending Marconi, the word Marconi, with a spark gap transmitter. So reset. Here we go. This is a modern day transceiver. Okay, that's three V's and the word test. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and we're going to listen to the word Marconi with a spark gap transmitter. Okay, that was the word Marconi. That's kind of cool. Uh-oh, I don't know what that is, but that's not supposed to be there. Back to you, Tom.
Ah, I don't know. Sounds like it's going crazy on you there. Well, quite a bit change, of course, through the years. And, of course, communication is communication. And a really neat thing here to point out, and we're talking about a spark gap. We're not talking about a lot of electronics here whatsoever. Very good reason that a lot of people, even though the Morse code is not required anymore for a license, when you get down to the bare minimum of something and or some of your equipment fails, and possibly that's all you can do is to send Morse code, it would be a good thing to be able to do that. And this is why a lot of people, regardless, there's actually more people learning code now than there were when it was required. So pretty awesome there. Mike, did everything come out okay, or was everything, or was smoke coming out of the equipment?
The K3's okay. No, but no, it was just a recording, and that was from, it's called The Sounds of a Spark Transmitter, Telegraphy and Telephony, and it's from John S. Bellarose of Radio Science Communications Research Center in Ottawa, Canada. So that's where I got the recording for that. And the other one was just me playing around with a key here on the bench.
YNW.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, the spark gap actually was pretty darn clear, and for CW, the tone is where your receiver is distant from it. If the receiver had been a little further away, it might have been a higher tone. I hope this makes sense, K6YNW.
Yeah, I think actually, yeah, you're right. I think I'm not a CW guy. And Mike, is that true? Is basically that a lot of that can be controlled by possibly the frequency that you're receiving on? And I know with SSB, of course, we can all sound like Donald Duck if we turn up the frequency off where we're supposed to be. But does that vary quite a bit in that manner, Mike?
Not sure about the spark gap. What you see is what you hear is what you get. Now, I have my CW set at 430 cycles. I worked in a factory for 20 years, so that's where it hits my ears best. But on this transceiver, I can push a switch, and I can put it just about anywhere I want. Does that answer your question, Chris?
Yes, I was just wondering about in the spark gap days, if someone who had a little extra frequency might have heard it at a higher tone. By the way, the KWM2, a very popular receiver, can't do CW. they had the CW come out to get the passband at 1,500 hertz, and people were chasing around the band. K6YNW.
Yeah, roger that. Now, Mike, for anybody out there who is interested or if this has sparked some interest in CW for you out there listening, if you are general class, or even if you're not, you can always listen. But if you're a general class, Mike has been running a little monitoring session of Monday through Friday, generally from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock out there on the 3.560 kilohertz. That's 35, or excuse me, megahertz, or it would be 3560 kilohertz, way down there in the 80-meter band. So for that, I do believe, though, now let's see, that's CW, and that, am I mistaken? Actually, tech class can do CW there, correct?
That is correct. We have, the techs have one on 80 meters, they have quite a bit on 40 meters, a little bit on 15, about the same, and on 10 meters also, and then naturally anything above that. But, you know, that may not be the best frequency that time of day. We may go up to 40 meters here, but, you know, I work people up in Big Bear. I work Tom W06B and Lanny a couple of times on that frequency, and everything is fine. So, you know, if, oh, there's somebody on there now. If anybody needs to QSY or anything, just email me or let me know.
LCS.
Yes, Quinn, go ahead.
The vibrating nature or the pulsing of that spark gap transmitter Morse code, is that just the nature of the spark gap? Is that the is that tunable or adjustable at all? And also, anybody in Riverside, avoid the 215 north at University, 215 at University. There's something happened on the 215 south, 215 south. It is, the 60 is backed up all the way into Pedley. Something happened in Riverside on the southbound 215. But anyway, that vibrating nature of that signal, what causes that, please?
Mike, you want to go ahead and take that?
I would think that that is just the nature of the spark. When I was a kid, we used to play around with Ford coils and stuff like that. And I know, Tom, you've had Jacob's ladders and like that. If you turn an AM radio on when a spark is going off like that, generally that is how a spark sounds. I'm not sure. I don't think they used BFOs like we did today or any kind of detectors such as that. They had coherent detectors, which were kind of strange. I'm not really up on spark gap transmission. Because we can't do it anymore. But yeah, so, you'd have to probably Google into some of the history pages, and they would be able to tell you probably better than I. But I think that is the nature of the spark itself, because I have heard that on an AM radio, and if you've heard static or on when somebody's using a drill or something like that, it sounds similar on an AM radio.
Okay, thank you. Fascinating stuff, historic stuff. Thank you very much, K6LCS.
And YNW again.
J-A-T. We had two people in there. Let's go with Chris first. Go ahead, Chris, YNW.
Yes, I can't think of what receivers they used, but that's even before the day of regenerative, so it must have been pretty primitive, K6YNW.
K6COO.
Yeah, Chip, go ahead.
It's interesting that all this talk on this. My grandfather, who held this call originally, he made a living doing spark gap, but he talked a lot about spark gap transmitters when he was a young man, apparently. But he made a living doing CW as a communications officer on Star of India. So we're talking about the Titanic and the kind of transmitter that they had. And during all this conversation, I went online and I was looking at the reset. Wikipedia has a pretty good history of spark gap transmitters, and it talks about names that we know, Hertz, Telsa, and even the name Funken, which we know is a radio company, Telefunken, which accordingly means German for spark. So there's a lot of information there, too, exactly what's going on here with these transmitters the size of condominiums, practically.
Okay, dropped the mic that time. Hope it maybe it fixed it. You know, and one thing here, Mike, I don't see anything about and I that a spark gap really transmits on just about every frequency, all at the same time. So I guess we're really talking about just it's either the radio is on or it is off, and basically what frequency or band are you on? Well, I'm on all the bands and all the frequencies all at the same time. I'm assuming that's pretty much the way that spark gap works.
No, they use valves, which were tubes, obviously. But and I see a picture here of an aircraft receiver, 1917. But it doesn't really get into it. I'd have to spend a little time reading that. And Tom, you did cut out just for a second there, a couple of seconds. Maybe you're pulling on the mic cord again. If not, then maybe you have some other issues. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I think it was me on the cord, but let me know if that happens again. Well, anyway, yeah, I think that, like I say, very primitive stuff, but state-of-the-art at the time. And we look back at that as primitive. However, even somebody back in, say, the 1800s would look at that as completely fantastic and marvelous. So it's all relative to the time and space and of what, you know, what's going on there. So. Well, anyway, anybody else out there, any comments about spark gap transmission and the Titanic? Like I said, they did try to make contact there. There's a lot of stories about that and what went on. If anybody is interested in this, National Geographic has been running a two-hour special, and I think they're going to repeat this. They've repeated it a couple of times on basically final analysis of exactly what happened to the entire ship that day, and from what they found with extensive research. So actually things are a little bit different than what we thought, and they've done this with a lot of science and the best analysis they could do. So hopefully they've nailed it down. Well, anyway, Mike, anything to add to this?
Kind of interesting. Not that they used crystal sets on the Titanic. I'm not really sure. I'll have to dig into that. We'll talk about that another day. But it talks about a crystal set here. If you wanted to amplify it, you would put your headphones into a wooden fruit bowl, and it would a deep one, and it would make make the sound seem louder. So that's kind of interesting. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I really do not know very much about what was around there for radio back then. I do know that the QST magazine did start from the ARRL way back in 1915, which was about 3 years later. So anyway, at this time, you know, radio was basically in its infancy and just starting to get up in there where we've got all some of the other equipment in the 1920s, 1930s, a lot of stuff out there that stuck with us for decades and decades. So anyway, coming to a close here for this evening. Anybody else out there, any comments on spark gap transmission or the Titanic?
KJ6KDK.
Yes, Hotel Victor.
Okay, let's get Hotel Victor in there. We'll do reverse order this time, and then we'll get back to you, KDK. Go ahead, Hotel Victor.
So, name is John, QTH is Rancho Palos Verdes in L.A. County, and just had a little question for you about the Titanic. What do you think would have happened had it not sank?
Well, if it had not sank, and had, you know, I guess, I think we have learned a lot from what happened there. And I think one of the things that we learned is that what we thought was invincible was not. And I think this is part of what could have, you know, led to that disaster. Arrogance sometimes is a great downfall. So, John, glad to hear you in there tonight. And I know you're usually with the Maritime Museum. But, yeah, it'd be hard to say. So, don't really know. Back to you, John, real quick.
Okay, fine business, sir. Fine business. I enjoyed the CW little demonstration that you gave there with the spark gap. That was quite interesting and first time I ever heard that. Back to you.
Okay, John, appreciate that. Rosemary, KJ6KDK, go ahead.
Thanks, Tom. Hey, you know, I thought I heard you say at the beginning something about the range of the radio on the Titanic, and I thought I read in the article in QST that at night the Titanic had a range of something like 2,000 miles transmitting.
Yeah, and I do believe Mike pointed that out, and 2,000 miles is a long way. I think we're looking at somewhere to the tune of 3,000 across the Atlantic. Yeah, that's quite a distance. So for a spark gap, I think it's pretty amazing. Back to you, Rosemary.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I thought that was really neat. And I'm sorry, I missed part of the conversation here, so I guess you'd already pointed out. But pretty cool. That's a long distance. Back to you.
Yeah, roger that. You know, and Mike, probably just take this time out right now. Of course, on FM radios and receivers, not sure if that would even come across, but on anything that's even sideband, if you were to fire up a spark transmitter, I don't know, maybe if you're using an arc welder or something, I'm going to say that it's probably going to get out there for a ways. So, and hooking that to some type of antenna, if it was an emergency communications thing, that would be one more way of using stuff that's not even radio equipment. Something to might look into when we start talking about emergency backup stuff this summer. Anyway, anybody else with any other comments before we start closing the net?
Yes, finally in a good area.
Yeah, YNW.
Okay, in order. Clint, did you want to add something in there?
Yes, please. The James Cameron two-hour special on National Geo is engrossing. It is riveting. What I found more provocative was the Robert Ballard one-hour special right now running on National Geo, where he is telling, they're just combating each other. Ballard is saying, keep these submarines, keep these explorers away from the Titanic. It's becoming, they're destroying it. 10 years ago, Ballard had a picture of the crow's nest, the real crow's nest where the iceberg was sighted. It has been knocked off the mast and is no longer visible because one of the unmanned subs with photo equipment ran into it and knocked it off. But things like that are happening, and Ballard is petitioning governments involved to make this a sanctuary as opposed to people just going down there and doing their documentaries. K6LCS.
Yeah, you know, and that's one good point there. Happened and how it happened and what the results are, but quite possibly there's a point in time where we close the door to that, and essentially no more than exploring, you know, what's left of the Arizona and Hawaii. I would say that would be in the same boat there. Anyway, we had another comment in there. Please come back. Ah, or maybe we didn't. Well, anyway, we'll hang around here for a little bit. I really appreciate everybody joining in, and mark that on your calendar for a week from this Thursday, the 19th. If you can get by Play Bob, it'd be great. Quint, good luck with that, and of course, we'll hopefully be talking to you next Tuesday, and if not, though, good luck from us all here at this point in time. All right, so I do want to thank everybody for joining in this evening. As we are closing the net, this is QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, with an intermittent mic, because I'm pulling on the cord so much, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 1900 hours, 43 minutes, returning the repeater to normal use. And we will stand by for a bit.